Thank you, Mr. President. Bear with me. I'm fighting allergies this morning. Mr. President, I'm asking that Senate Bill 744 be taken up for perfection and printing.
You've heard the motion. Be brought before the body. You've heard the motion of the senator from the 5th. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Thank from the 5th.
I now move that Senate Bill 744 with Senate Committee Substitute be adopted.
You want to move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute?
Yes.
You want to proceed with the explanation?
Yes, sir. This particular bill came about as a result of some activity we had here in the Capitol approximately 6 weeks ago, where some of us were targeted with orange crosshair stickers. And as there was discussion among those of us who were impacted and those who saw it, we determined that it was important that the Capitol be safeguarded, and we thought that cameras being installed would be very helpful. We have a lot of children in the building this time of year. We also have senior citizens to come in. We have groups to come in and perform. We have the disabled handicapped community as well. And I think it's prudent that we step up and take some actions, even if they're limited, in order to protect the populace as they come into our Capitol. We have a Capitol that is open to the public, and I think that's a wonderful thing. It belongs to the people. But I also think that the state needs to be prudent in how it takes care of its visitors to its capital. And with that, I renew my motion, Mr. President, and I'd like to also inquire of the senator from the 9th.
Senator from the 9th, do you yield to the senator from the 5th?
Yes, I do.
Proceed.
Thank you. Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Fine. Were you one of those senators that was targeted?
I was, actually, and I'm really glad that this bill has now made floor. I think you stated so eloquently earlier that this bill is not just for the protection, of course, for the legislators, but for everyone that uses this building. All the kids that come in here, all the elderly, just all of the folks that are around our state that choose to come into the Capitol. And I think it's extremely important that we all be kept safe.
When you return home, Senator, I recall that there was a reaction from your community. Can you kind of give us a little information about that?
Absolutely. I think, I think all of us when we returned home, I think folks at home were astounded. There was quite a bit of media attention on the Kansas City side, I'm sure on the St. Louis side as well, regarding those of us that have gotten the sniper crosshair stickers on our door. Since that time, there clearly has been other threats to senators here in the building. And again, it's not just about us that are serving. It's about everyone that uses the Capitol. And yes. I was quite disappointed to finally realize that we did not have more security in place than we have. And I think many of us were so rudely awakened by that, after those incidents. And I think it's extremely important. I certainly hope that this body supports it.
Were you offered any kind of police protection or anything, Senator, when you got home?
I was. Those of us from the Kansas City side were offered protection from our county sheriff, which we greatly appreciated, as well as our police department. I'm grateful, really, to them for understanding the importance of safety as our elected officials, and for all of us as a whole. I think folks at home clearly were more were fearful. I think so many times here in the Capitol, we tend to feel safe when certain things like that happen, then we feel more unsafe. But clearly those folks at home were really jarred by the media attention that it had gotten here.
Indeed. You have, in your district, like I have in mine, I have Busch Stadium, I have Scott Trade Center, I also have the Dome, and you can't go in any of those facilities without having your bags checked, number one. You cannot go in the City Hall. You can't go into the courts. You can't go into our other public office buildings and many other buildings in general without having some type of surveillance, whether they're actually checking your bags or if you're going through a metal detector or indeed both in some instances. At the time that happened, Senator, I had some of the press say to me that day, because I got an awful lot of press, a lot of national press, actually. I got calls from CNN and all across the nation. And the press that comes in the building, they were really surprised that they can come in with the bags and things that they do, even though they're in here quite often, without any surveillance anymore. We did have it for a moment after 911. And I also had some of our guests in the building today from Express Scripts that expressed to me that they were surprised that they did not have any type of surveillance, that they were able to walk into the Capitol without any type of challenge whatsoever. And I think if we're going to be prudent, like I stated before, and really protect our citizens, that we need to take a step toward that. And I think cameras are quite reasonable. Senator, you're on the fourth floor, is that right?
Right, I am.
Do you get the type of traffic on the fourth floor that we get here on the third, where the chambers are?
No, you know, on the fourth floor, it is we don't get nearly as much traffic on the fourth floor as we do on the third. So clearly, in those areas of the Capitol, it's even easier for folks to be able to do some things that would be unsavory or harmful to some of us. You know, it was interesting because our members, I won't say that. I will say that it had been brought to the attention, some of us should carry guns, but that won't necessarily prevent us if someone happens to place a bomb in a certain area of the building. That may prevent us from some instance happening to be maybe one-on-one, but it certainly will not prevent us from having issues such as bombs or other things that might be harmful to a large number of us. And, you know, Senator, I want to add that it's not just in the government buildings that they provide security. In Kansas City, we can't go into our school buildings without having security as well.
Very true.
Right. I mean, there are guards there. They have metal detectors there. So it was surprising for many of the folks at home to know that we don't have security here in the Capitol, as they're so used to going through when they enter any other government living at home, as well as schools.
I had a comment during the time when this was pretty much a hot issue, that because the Capitol is located in the center of the state and not in an urban area, that the need for having that type of security wasn't necessary. And I thought that was a rather short-sighted response, because this is the state capitol. There's only one.
Right.
Doesn't matter where it would be located. And that's just to say that an urban area would more likely have someone to come into the Capitol and do something, as opposed to being here in the middle of the state. I completely discounted that thought. I thought that was really quite irrational, actually. I don't think it matters. It's the state capital. We talk about a lot of very hot button issues, which we have had this year. We have some reflection here of what goes on nationally. And as we know, when the threats came in, and even the second threat that came in that I was included in, every one of them referenced the Gabrielle Giffords situation, which, being a woman and an elected official, did not sit very well with me at all on both of those. So that also kind of added to my impetus to push this bill and to have some discussion and hopefully get it through.
Right. Well, I think even with the Gabrielle Giffords issue, I think even for those of us that had received crosshair stickers, clearly four of us were women.
Yes.
You know, so that the parallel between the Gabrielle Giffords incident and folks mentioning the Gabrielle Giffords incident, as well as the email that you all had received earlier, becomes especially frightening in some cases. You know, clearly there's always an opportunity for copycat crimes and other things.
Yes.
It's something that we need to be conscious of, and something that we need to at least provide some protection of.
I agree 100%, and I think for our school children especially, I'm a former classroom teacher, I think it's wonderful to have the children. It's good to have everybody in the building. The Indiana State Capitol, you cannot go in there unless you are invited by a legislator or unless you're the press. And here in Missouri, we're open, and I like that idea that we are open. And they can come and they can gather in the rotunda and on all the rotundas for that matter, and they can tour and see the history of the state and learn a lot of things. That I would not like for this building to be shut down. I would like for it to remain open for the people of the state, because that's who it belongs to. But again, my concern, because we have so many people this time of year, and that will just grow until the end of session, that we have to take a step, I think, and I think it's an honest step to say that, yes, we're mindful of the potential, and that we also need to do something to help protect our citizens.
Right. I agree completely.
Well, Senator, thank you for allowing me to inquire of you, and hopefully we can get this through. Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th.
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 14th.
Senator from the 14th, do you yield? She yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have on that candy apple red suit. That looks good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Were you also targeted, Senator, with the crosshairs on your nameplate?
Yes, I was, but I have to tell you, honestly, that's not the first time that I've been targeted. As I have mentioned before, I have been followed. I have had my personal belongings vandalized. I've had people go through my trash. I've had pickets at my house. I've had death threats. And this is just the addition to all of that.
Now, that some of these things have happened at your home then, not just here in the Capitol. Is that what I'm understanding?
It's a dangerous lifestyle we have.
Yes. Yes, it is. There's only a handful of us, and we can be singled out, quite frankly. What was your response? How did you feel, Senator, when you were aware that not only, I believe, you had one, but you had two, did you not?
Yes, there are two that ended up on my nameplate. And quite honestly, now that I look at it, the person who did this was obviously bipolar and passive-aggressive. I do know that the folks who are doing the investigation on this did not find a fingerprint that matched any other data that was privy to them, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to talk about people who really, I guess, don't have the same values that most Missourians. And if you read certain articles this weekend, I've been reading some information from the Southern Poverty Center and other entities, and the number of events and situations where militia groups and others have been doing negative things has increased proportionately, I mean disproportionately, because of the times, I guess, we're in. I don't know what it is. I know one militia person who at his wedding, unfortunately, I was just reading, had certain people to target at his wedding. This militia person had a list of people to be targeted and shot, which included police officers and elected people and others who are visible to the public.
Senator, you have an office on the fourth floor as well. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
Yes, so you and the senator from the ninth are not too far from each other. So you've got two senators who were targeted within. Well, actually, we had two other senators who were on my floor that were targeted as well. I also thought it was interesting that it was the four women of the minority caucus and one male minority caucus member and then one House member of the majority caucus. I thought that was rather interesting.
Yeah, that's the oddity of all of it. The representative that had the crosshair sticker on his nameplate had no clue why he would be targeted. You know, we tried to do the process of elimination. There were a couple of things that he came up with and I thought about. But, you know, it's really, this whole thing is an act of cowardice, as I've stated before. I have a lower opinion of people who are cowards. And if they have an issue with anything that we support or we are against, then they should have enough courage and stamina to come to our offices, confront us face-to-face. But this kind of activity is not tolerated. And frankly, you know, I do think that we should have more cameras. I don't like what the governor said. I think that he, I don't know, maybe had a busy day or something. I don't know what it was. But when it comes to our safety, very aware and very concerned, this is something that is, you know, our constituents and our families were concerned about. And, you know, even though I deal and I have dealt with things like this in the past, when it comes to the public forum, which in this case it did, there are a lot of people who, instead of concentrating on the budget or familial involvement legislation or education, they're dealing with our safety, and that's nice, but I really would prefer for my constituents to be concerned with, you know, are their rights going to be safeguarded this year? are they going to be able to go to the grocery store and get whatever they need through the TANA program? I mean, frankly, spending time with this is not a good thing for our constituents. I want them to be engaged in the process. And, you know, this weekend I sat on a panel and I talked to my constituents about their responsibility. And I was very frank with the group of probably 60 or 70 people. And I told them, listen, accountability is a partnership, number one. And I am going to be very honest with you, and I'm speaking to the crowd. You know, for you not to listen to debate on the floor is quite awful. You don't know what is being said. You don't know what is being done. All I do every week is send out my newsletter, and if you read the newsletter, then that's great. But if you don't read the newsletter, then you don't know what's going on, and then you'll read certain newspaper articles that don't tell the entire story to things. And, I mean, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but bottom line is I'd rather my constituents be concerned with the real work that we do up here, the real work that we do up here.
I know the lack thereof right now.
We should have cameras. If we have to pay part of it out of our campaign coffers, then let's do it. But, you know, I think about the officer in my district who lived in my precinct who was shot no more than 4 feet away from him as he was sitting in his car.
Right.
He was shot. Mike King, a police officer from University City, was shot point blank. You know, we go out often, and there are a lot of disgruntled people who are out here now.
Very much so.
And, you know, it's kind of funny, in Puerto Rico, every single elected official has a bodyguard.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Who pays for that?
Government, but that's why they're dealing with crisis that they are at this point and have an employment rate of at least
8%. Okay.
And that's the low
end. How many elected officials do they have?
A bunch. I haven't counted them, but enough. But, I mean, they've gone to that point. I'm nervous because we have all these militia groups in Missouri. And then we have militia groups putting language on ballots in Springfield or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what's ridiculous.
And that's the fear, I believe. You know, they come from nowhere and
they're putting negative stuff
back
on
into
ballot
the,
initiatives. I mean, that's some crazy stuff.
Right. Well, I think that, and not only us and the people, we have staff that's here 12 months out of the year. It's not just that the legislators are here. We have our staff. This building has always had staff in it all year long. We're just here for 4 months out of the year, 4.5 months, and we always have tourists in the building.
Here during 9/11?
Yes. No.
Okay.
Yes. No.
Well,
no,
I
came right after that. I came the spring after.
Well, I was here. There were only 9 legislatures in session. Or, I'm sorry, there were 6. Only 6, and we were one of them, and we were dealing with the Senior RX program and Livestock Price Discrimination Act.
Right.
And that's 2001, September. And I recall going to the governor, the lieutenant governor, and telling him about the first plane that hit, and then by the time I got into the office, turning on the TV, the second plane hit. And immediately, there were cameras. I mean, you had to walk through, you know, all these guard things and all this other kind of stuff immediately. And that's like when only 6 legislatures were in session throughout the country. And we went through that and had the metal detectors for quite a long time. And, you know, I don't want any one of our colleagues, male, female, black, white, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever, to ever be targeted by some crazy group. What goes for me goes for them.
Right.
I care about the safety of my constituents. I know that there are in my colleagues, but I mean, really, our focus right now should be on moving forward, having some kind of sensitivity towards our concerns. I mean, I have my police department that is on high alert often because, as I stated yesterday, we have a high Jewish community. And, you know, what happened in France yesterday with the three children and the father, who's also a teacher, got shot.
Right.
I mean, I can tell you right now, we are on high alert at home.
Okay.
A very supportive
person
to the Jewish
community,
I could be targeted.
Truly.
You know, so, again, I've been there, done that. You know, this is just in a long line of things that have happened.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit desensitized, but at some point, it's kind of like that story where you keep poking someone in the arm and poking them and you keep poking them. Nothing happens. You keep poking them, and then they explode. That might be me.
Okay. Well, we don't want you to explode, Senator, but I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President,
Senator
if
from
I could
Field.
Inquire from if I could inquire of the Senator from the 11th.
Senator from the
10th.
10th.
Yes.
Do you yield?
I do.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator.
You were also targeted, as I recall, were you not?
Yeah,
in the first
go
round.
The first round and,
yes.
And then with you in the second round as well.
Yes, indeed, twice. And you've been in the legislature 8 years now, is that right?
Actually, this is my sixth year in the legislature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's right. Is this the first time you've been targeted?
No, we've received threats over the years. I think that what made this one different was the fact that the first threat obviously was by someone who was in the building. It wasn't just an email that came in or a phone call or a letter. It was someone who was clearly, you know, in our hallways.
Absolutely.
And so that was what made this one different. I think also what makes this one a little bit different is the fact that they came so close to each other, so it started to layer.
Yes.
It was a year after the Gabrielle Giffords incident, which,
yes,
of course, raised all of our awareness as legislators. I don't know about you, but after the Gabrielle Giffords incident, our police department in Kansas City contacted all of us electeds in Kansas City and said if we were going to have any public events that they would like to be there with us.
Interesting.
They just said, you know, for too long we've all been a little bit, I think, lax, and there's no reason to be that way, that they're there and able to help us. And so, you know, we discussed those issues. After, frankly, these two things that happened at the Capitol, the police really haven't given me an option. They
right.
they want to be present at every single one of our public events.
That's
now.
Very good. That's very well. Well, we did not receive that type of response from the St. Louis area law enforcement. I don't believe the county did that either as it relates to the senator from the 14th, and I certainly did not hear anything from our Metropolitan Police Department in the city of St. Louis. But it says about Kansas City that they recognize that these types of things can happen in public gatherings.
Absolutely, and I just think, too, that, I mean, it's a really tough time.
Yes.
Nationally right now.
Yes.
We've got a lot of folks who are getting moved to a level of desperation that they haven't been before. There are a lot of people that have been looking for work so long. They see rising gas prices and others. They lose access to services they might have had before, and they become desperate. And so we're in a unique situation where times are tougher, and we have to cut back on security-type measures. But this is probably the time when we can least afford to cut back because people are more desperate.
Right, and I think also, and times are tough and money is short, but we also need to be prudent about where we spend that money. Safety of our citizens is very important. We don't want carnage in the state of Missouri. And I recognize that our budget is upside down, but somewhere we have to triage and decide what absolutely has to come first, second, and third. And I guess we do that. I'm not on appropriations. I can't say exactly what happens, but we certainly need to find the money at least to start some type of dialogue.
Well, and I'm glad that you raised this issue in general, Senator, because it's something that has always really kind of surprised me from the first day that I came to the Capitol. I've been to a lot of different state capitals around the country, obviously been to the United States Capitol, been to a lot of courthouses, schools, and very rarely anymore do you get into a building or leave a building with such unrestricted access as you do this building.
Right.
Now, what I love about that is it truly is the people's house, and people can come and go, and that's fantastic.
Free.
No one feels intimidated like they can't get in.
Right.
But one comment that I get from a lot of visitors who come down to Jefferson City is, how come there's no one kind of standing at the entryways, just even watching who's
right.
going in and out?
Absolutely.
How come there's no metal detectors? And I've kind of explain to them the pros and cons and the expenses involved and that sort of thing, and the balance, the delicate balance between public safety and obviously access to the building. But what I would say is that we do need to see if maybe there are some funds available out there to help with this. I was reading a news article recently, actually, about some of the alleged, and I don't know that this is true because I've never gone out and tried to find the money myself, but I've heard about some of this money that's been available post 9/11,
yes.
Where some police departments across the country are buying insane pieces of equipment with grants that they're getting from the feds, things that they would never need. I mean, they're buying, you know, vehicles that can sustain roadside bombs, you know, for downtown wherever, Wisconsin.
Okay.
If it's true that those grants are available, we need to be exhausting those exact resources.
I think so, too.
For not those type of armored vehicles.
Right.
But for maybe some very simple fixes that we could do. Maybe just some single points of entry, two or three points of entry into the building.
Yes.
Maybe just having folks who stay at those places and just watch as people
yes.
come in and out. I think increasingly we're having, a healthy dialogue in this country about the balance between personal freedom and personal safety.
Yes.
We don't want to get into a situation where we have profiling going on.
Absolutely.
We don't want to get into a situation where people don't feel that they can come to the Capitol anymore.
Absolutely.
But I do think that with all the school groups that we have, all of the families, all of the advocacy groups that come here on a daily basis, that they would be safer, that our employees would be safer, that our elected officials would be safer if there were an additional level of security.
Right.
And I would like to see this conversation spur the next kind of step, which is going out there and finding what funds are available to make this place safer for everybody.
I agree. And the fact that we did have metal detectors after 9/11 says that there were dollars available then to bring those detectors in and to have that staffed. And then, as you mentioned, there's still money available to our other police agencies to do things like you're saying, by heavy equipment. And certainly we should look at that as well, because I think that's very paramount. Senator, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to inquire of you.
Thank you,
and
Senator.
And we look
Brings.
Forward to a positive on this bill. Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 7th, if I may.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do, and I think she's doing this as a favor to me.
But I'm going to inquire, indeed. Just quickly, I will first of all want to thank you for allowing my bill to come through your committee. I know we all did get a lot of good response from our colleagues here on the floor about our safety and their concern about the issue the day it occurred. Mm-hmm. And you encouraged me to file the bill, and you were gracious enough to allow it to come through your general laws committee, and it was voted out of your committee, and that's why we're here debating it on the floor today. But let me ask you, Senator, you've been in the General Assembly a long time, I think one session more than I have. Have you ever been threatened in the whole time you've been here?
Yes, I have. But Senator, you know, if you would just be really, really nice to me, I have some guests here, nice of the Secretary to let me totally break rules to do that. I have kind of a personal policy that I will not interrupt debate for introduction of guests, because I feel like it tends to mess up the flow of conversation. So thank you for your courtesy of letting me do that. And I will let Kevin know that the reason of this strange stance, the reason I'm not turning around and talking to you, I'm not being rude, but this is the rule of the Senate, that we always have to face the President. So thank you all for coming. We appreciate that.
Thank
we'll
you.
Let Kevin be paged for the day. Have been threatened, yes, Senator, in answer to your former question.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And how did that occur? Was it a letter, a phone call, or did somebody do something physical to some of your belongings, or what?
It has mainly come through emails. There have been some threatening phone calls periodically through the 12 years that I've enjoyed being here. On email threats, I don't think a lot of people realize that their emails can be traced
Absolutely.
Right back to the computer
Absolutely.
From which
That's
it
right.
was written. And I can remember specifically two of them that were traced back, and the local police in my area did go take a visit to those people who disseminated and wrote those emails, and I think scared them so much they never did it again.
Indeed. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.